teacher this morning. There are a few new families with us, and I need to know who the sixth grade teacher is, so I can't remember who that is, but whoever you are, come find me after church this morning. So you're going to have a couple students in your class as well this morning, so let me know who that is. And a few others of you might have some new students as well this morning as well. With that, let us turn to our Bibles this morning, Revelation chapter 12. Hopefully you were able to read chapters 12, 13, and 14 at home to prepare, because I cannot read it all to you. We'd still be here at noon. And so we're going to take just snippets of each chapter. I'm going to lift the key points out of these three chapters and highlight those. Next week will be very similar. We're going to take a big chunk of Scripture, pull out the main points, and study those. And so we're going to begin at Revelation chapter 12, 1 through 9. And then we're going to skip around through the rest of these. And so this message this morning is entitled, Conflict Between the Church and the Powers of Evil. We're coming off the seventh trumpet. Now a lot of this stuff is going to happen rapidly. And then you're going to have shots of history that's going to come in the midst of this, that's going to come back in time. And you'll kind of understand this. And by the end of the message, hopefully you'll grasp it all. So, the woman and the dragon, beginning at chapter 12. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days, or, as you learned the last couple weeks, 3.5 years. The New Testament period. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. And then we're going to move to chapter 13. Verses 1 through 4. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it? And then if you'd skip to verse 11. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the number of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for women or for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man or a woman. That number is 666. And then 14, verse 1. And then we'll skip to verse 6. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. Verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and the springs of water." A second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, and for anyone who receives the mark of its name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them.'" The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we've read a lot of scripture there this morning. We pray for your wisdom. We pray for your enlightenment of the Holy Spirit to bring that word to life, that we may understand what these passages mean to us as we live this life in your world. And Lord, so I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit as I bring this message to your people today. Lord, may they be your words and not my own. And I pray for those that have gathered here today, Lord, you fill them with that same Spirit. Open their minds, their hearts, and their souls to receive your word. In Jesus I pray, amen. Have you ever come across something unexpected in life, whether good or bad? Anybody ever had that? Nobody? Yeah, some few? All right, very good. Well, let me tell you about a little story about Fort Robinson State Park in Crawford, Nebraska. In mid-August, most of you knew that we took Quinn to Colorado to college. And on our way home, I like to take different routes because I like to see the countryside and I love being out west. And so we decided to come through northern Nebraska. We tipped through Cheyenne, Wyoming and touched Wyoming, and we headed to northern Nebraska, I believe on Highway 20, and Randy Van Hill told me about this. He goes, "When you get there, it's going to just surprise you," and he was right. We come over this hill, and you need to realize when you're in the sand hills of Nebraska, there's nothing out there. It's pretty desolate. And so you're south of the Black Hills to give you a geographical position. And up over this hill, we come to a place known as Fort Robinson. Never heard of it before. Besides, and Randy cued me in before we left. If you come that way, you might come across it. And we did. And so it was an unexpected surprise to us that we found great delight. And we would have liked to have stayed there, but we were on a little bit of a schedule. But we stopped for a few hours, and we walked through it, and it was a beautiful day. And the grass was green because they were getting some rain out there, in fact. And we walked through the buildings and the facilities, and it was just, there's so much history there. And let me just show you what that was about. This was built in 1874, and there are several buildings there, not just one or two, but probably 25 to 30. Huge quarters. There's officers' quarters, officers' houses, all kinds of things going on there that you can go back in time. Let me tell you a few things that went on there. This is a place that was built in 1874. It was an attempt to tame the American West, to move Native Americans onto tribal lands or reservations. It was a place that Crazy Horse was killed trying to escape one evening. In 1943, there were 600 German POWs that were stationed there. Never realized that. right in the middle of Nebraska. It was a place that trained thousands of horses for military use. And get this, in World War II, they trained 5,000 service dogs for war there in the middle of Nebraska. Unexpected. If you ever have time, go see it. It is quite amazing, the history that that place holds. But let me shift gears with you now. The symbolisms of chapters 12, 13, and 14, you are going to experience some unexpected things. You might know some, but others you're probably going to realize, oh, I didn't know that about what we just read this morning. Now, I read you a tidbit of a lot of information. And so put your seatbelt on. Have any of you ever drinking out of a fire hydrant before? That's what it's going to be like possibly for you today. There's a lot of information that you need to absorb, and I wanted you to read this ahead of time so you got an idea of what's coming. And so we're going to discover some unexpected things this morning. And I think that we're going to hear a lot of maybe hard things, but also there's a lot of good things that we have in this as well. And so let's start out with chapter 12. We see the symbolism of a woman whom represents several figures in the history of the church. And you can kind of put these together, but let me bring these to light. The woman spoken of in verse 1 has worldwide influence when the Bible says that she was clothed with the sun and the moon. Now, if you were to guess who this would be, who would you think that this might be? This is a biblical figure, by the way, that had worldwide influence. Anybody want to guess? Eve. She was the woman. Why would she have worldwide influence? Because she was the mother of all. She started this whole process. We descended from her, and so she is spoken of in verse 1. And since the start of the human race, you know and I know that Satan has been pursuing God's people ever since. And he has not stopped, and he will not stop until Christ returns. Verse 2 speaks of the birth of Jesus, which Satan would attempt to destroy. What woman would this be? Mary. Exactly. The Bible speaks of Mary here. This is the reference to Mary. And then we move on. This verse also speaks to the church and new believers who are born every day. If you have your Bible open with you this morning, I'd encourage you to stay with me so you can reference it from time to time. And then we see the symbolism of another woman in Revelation 12, verse 6. Now, this might be a little harder for you to grasp, but I know that you'll get it and you'll figure it out. And here's what it says. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Now, let me give you the time frame here. This is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's ascended into heaven. We're on the New Testament side of things. What woman or what reference would this be to, people? What do you think? The church. All right? That's what we're referring to. The woman fled into the what? The wilderness for protection. Now, we aren't going to actually flee into a wilderness, but what that's saying is that through this whole entire process of revelation that you and I hear these things, and we're going to start talking about judgments and all that in the next few weeks, that the church, the people of God, are protected through the Holy Spirit and the mighty hand of God. God's hand is upon you as a believer in Jesus Christ. And so this verse here speaks to the church. But let me remind you that all three of these women that are referenced here, they show us the love of God for his people. We serve a loving God. Now, you're going to see a lot of wrath from time to time in Revelation, but be reminded as a believer that we serve a loving God. And then we go to verse 7. And now here's a little bit of a history lesson here. All right? We travel back before creation. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. Some Bibles use the word cast. So make sure that you realize he just didn't get to leave on his own will. The father said, "You're out of here," and they removed him and cast him down to earth. So make sure that you understand that. The ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Now these verses reveal to us sometime before the creation of the earth and humanity that this war took place and Satan was cast out of heaven with one third of the angels. That's what the Bible teaches us. And so we'll learn more about this in just a minute. But why was he thrown out of heaven? Anybody want to take a guess at that this morning? He rebelled. What did he fall into? Starts with a P. Pride got him because he thought that he wanted to be God. And he became prideful. And so here's the point I want to make with you this morning. Satan desired to be God, but he did not want to serve God. Did people get that way? Sometimes we desire to be our own God, don't we? Do our own thing. Be our own God. That happens, doesn't it? And then as we read on, the angel Michael carries out the Lord's work by hurling him to earth. If you have your Bible open, you can look at verse 4 with me this morning. It says that the dragon's tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky, out of heaven, and they flung them to earth. Now these angels that were flung out of heaven came with Satan to earth, and they're fallen, and they do angel the Satan's work. Now what do we refer to them today? What do we call those fallen angels in the world that you and I live in? They are called what? Demons. Correct. They are dark. They are black. They are against you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. And they are very, very real yet today. You need to realize that. Demonic and angelic activity is a very real thing that even goes on today. And you need to watch for that in your own life as a believer that you don't get pulled into these things. And you're going to see some of these things that you might get pulled into this morning or how this works. Now, don't be scared. Some people get nervous about, you know, I don't like talking about that. I don't like the number 666 and talking about demons and spiritual warfare. That makes me uncomfortable and I don't want to do anything with that. But let me tell you, it's real. And if you're in ministry, you're going to face it. But here's the point I want you to know. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. A demonic force might try to come against you, but it can never fill you or take control of your life because you are ruled by the Spirit of God. You have the ability, through Christ, to overpower that demon. Some of you will refer to it as temptation, to sin, a desire to do things that you shouldn't do. And demons work in the slightest way, and I'll show you some examples here a little bit later in the message this morning. But take comfort in that. But let me also tell you that if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you are very susceptible to the work of demonic activity in the world that you and I live in. You're an open book. They can kind of do what they want with you. And some people get pretty wicked, don't they? You can look at history and see people that fall down that path. Now, I'm not saying that all people are demon-possessed. Don't go away thinking that. But Satan does use people to do his work. And they're influenced by the angelic or the demonic forces that are amongst this earth. I'm thankful that for you and I, we are influenced by the angelic forces. But where do you stand in the midst of that this morning? And so you and I are to be aware of these things and to be diligent of knowing what's going on in our lives. There are places and things that believers should never go or never be involved in your life. Let's move on to chapter 13. Chapter 13 speaks of two beasts whose attempt is to try and pull you into these places that you shouldn't go. That's their job. So let's talk about these beasts just a little bit that's mentioned there. The beast from the sea, Revelation 13, 1 through 10, what we read, It's going to represent a couple things, but let me start with the first one. It would be the evil governments of the world. Do we have any of those that have gone on in history that you know of? A common one we think of is Hitler, right? And his regime to eradicate the Jews and go to one race. Stalin, Osama bin Laden, North Korea, just to mention a few in our modern day, maybe Iran, of those evil world governments. But let me also point to you that this also represents the powers of trying to pull people into pagan ways of thinking. So let me, I'm going to test your knowledge here this morning, see how well read you are. How many of you ever get to Sioux Falls? I bet most of you. You guys are like, yeah, we all get there. All right, so here's my test for you. How many of you seen these big billboards, advertisements on them, when you come in on 10th Street or you come in South Minnesota and the big digital billboards and they're advertising things, and you see a advertisement on there that says free thinkers, and they got a question on there about who do you serve? Do you really believe in God? Is he true with everything that's going on in the world that we live in today? Have you ever seen those kind of signs? Anybody? Yes, they're there, free thinkers. You see that? That's actually an organization that their whole idea, and they're pushing this in the Midwest, in the Bible Belt this last few years, they want to create doubt in you. They want to challenge your faith to really, do you really believe in Jesus? And that's what their mission is. Their purpose is to cast doubt and to challenge God as the creator. Their goal is to pull people away from their faith. The beast. That's what I'm talking about. Those are the things that happen in the world that you and I live. Here's another one that you remember last year. I received a letter right before Christmas during Advent from the atheist group of Iowa, Justin Scott. I think I shared that with you if you were with us a year ago. Another letter that came, I didn't get one, but there's letters sent out to all the pastors in the state of Iowa from this atheist calling us to just leave our faith. There's a better way of life without religion. I said, yeah, you're right. There's no place for religion. It's about Jesus Christ. All with the attempt to pull pastors away from their faith and their churches to destroy the church. And that is a movement of the beast. Satan at work in the world that you and I live in subtle ways. All these are influences and the work of Satan and his demons. Tools to deceive you. Tools to pull you away from God and your faith. Your job is to be aware and to be on guard against these types of things. The Holy Spirit will alert you. You'll have that knot in your stomach that, like, there's something not right here. You ever had that in your faith walk before where you're just uncomfortable about a situation or maybe what's going on and you don't fully realize it, but yet the Spirit is moving about you and is making you aware of that, this is not where I should be. I shouldn't be listening to that. I shouldn't be going to that place. The second beast from the earth represents false philosophies. The ideas are ideas that try to take over the church. Let me just put a few out there and you'll catch on to this pretty fast. Ideas such as humanism or rationalism. It's the attitude that I can run my own life. I don't need God. Right? You need science to prove that there's God. That's what unbelievers will say. You know, science proves everything. Well, then why would we need faith in our lives? Individualism, that seems to be a big word in our country today, especially in America. And it's so against the teaching of what God wanted us to do. We use a Greek word in the New Testament called koinonia. What it means is that it's called fellowship, our gathering, our coming together. The people of God are supposed to do this. We're not supposed to be individualistic, and we're not supposed to be out on our own. We're supposed to be a part of the family of God in all that we do. But this second beast tries to destroy that and take that away. And you can probably think of other ideas that come to your mind in those types of situations. Let me jump to the next one, the number 666. This is always an interesting verse and a very well-known verse. It's verse 18. It says, "Let the person who has the insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man." That number is 666. Now, the number 666 represents complete imperfection. It represents sinful man. That's you and I, right? And we're in need of Jesus Christ for our salvation and for the forgiveness of our sins. And it's right there in Scripture. Anybody notice what's on the screen this morning? Are you wondering what that could be about? Anybody drink Monster Energy? Don't raise your hand. Let me give you just a little lesson here. Now, there's nothing against energy drinks. That's not my point. But I want you to see how subtle that evil comes in, okay? Now, you need to know Hebrew to know what's on this can. Now, a lot of you, I think, are probably already aware of it. Do you know what those three green marks are in Hebrew? They're called Vavs. All right, now that's the Hebrew alphabet, but the Hebrew alphabet also has a numerical system in it. It's all tied together. It's God's language, and it is when you study Hebrew, you'll see how amazing God is just in the language that he uses. But this here, for example, is actually, you know, I can't say, oh, this is a product of Satan or whatever, but let me just tell you about this can. Those three Vavs, a Vav is equal to the number 6, by the way. So you could just well print on the can, 666. Now we could say, well, that's sinful man, right? That's kind of interesting. Now go down to the Monster label on the bottom there. Do you notice what's in the O? What's in the O? There's a cross in there, isn't there? So what happens when you tip the can upside down? What happens with the cross? Anybody know? An upside-down cross, isn't it? That is a very good sign of demonic worship in Satan. Now, some of you can go home and research it, and there's some they say that, nope, it's not tied to any kind of religious type of thing. It's got a whole different meaning in there. But guess what? This is how the beast works. It's subtle. You don't know it, but you need to realize it. And there are all kinds of things that I could bring up to you about different things that go on in our society that as Christians that you and I need to be aware of. Now, if I drink Monster Energy, does that mean that I'm not going to have salvation? No, it does not. That's not the point. The point is to know that there's always evil around you, and you and I need to be aware of that evil. And I'm not picking on Monster Energy drink here, by the way. I could find many more that I could bring up to you and show you the subtle signs that go on in the world that you and I live in. It got pretty quiet when I showed you that cross, didn't I? Because that hits home. Be aware of how you live and what you're involved in, the things you listen to. Do they glorify God or not? Because that's where the battle's at for our lives, our souls. Teach your children those things, parents. You have wisdom. Make them aware of those things that they should and should not be a part of in life. And kids, if your parents tell you something, there's a reason why they're telling you those things, because they want to protect you from the evil one in your life. All right, let's close this up here this morning. Revelation 14, verse 13. Now, notice I read the first verse to you. It speaks of the 144,000. That's the complete church in heaven. We see it again symbolized there. God's people are gathered. The seventh trumpet is blown. And then we come into these three angels that we talk about. And so the first angel, I'll go through these quickly. Fear God, and they gave him glory. Meaning, right up to the end of time, the gospel is going to be proclaimed to the people of God. Right up to the end. You're going to see people gathering for worship. People will continue to pray and stuff like that. The second angel warns that Babylon, that is evil, that is Satan, will fall. He will be destroyed in the end. That's what Scripture tells us. The third angel proclaims that all who have the mark of the beast, those who are wicked, will be punished by God. Now, we talked about this before. Now, did I say it's going to be a physical mark on you or not? Do you remember what I told you? It's not probably not going to be a physical mark. Some people think it might be, but you are already marked because you are a believer of Jesus Christ when you give your life to him. And I think that's a mark that you have placed upon you, and you know that. Now, that evil mark is going to mean that you're an unbeliever, but I don't think that they're going to notice that so much. You're not going to see signs of a 666 across your forehead or on your hand, but it's going to be the way you live your life. That's the mark. Is it for Christ or is it for Satan? And he's going to know where your heart is. He's the judge, the Lord is. That's the mark. Are you a believer or not? And then let's close with this verse. And this is a popular verse. When I stand at the graveyard and bury loved ones, it says, I say this at the graveyard. Write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. That speaks to the church, right? It speaks of hope. It speaks of endurance. We as believers are to endure whatever Satan throws at us. And from time to time, you're going to see God move in ways that you least expect. Those are great things. Those are joyful things. And so may that eternal hope never fade in you as a believer in Jesus Christ, no matter what we face in this life. And all of God's people said,